I'd like for you to, there's a verse on the screens, and I'd like for you to read that with me. I know you're at home. I can't hear you. You can hear me, but let's read this together. Those who trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but endures forever. Isn't that a great word of encouragement? That as we trust in God, He will make us as Mount Zion. We don't have to be shaken or moved, but we will abide forever. The title of the message, as I mentioned earlier, is How to Work Through a Crisis. Our text is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn to that. But let me tell you the backstory of what leads up to chapter 20 and the crisis the people are going through. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah, and he gets word that there are three armies that are about to invade Judah. The Moabites, Ammonites, and the Midianites. These three armies have banded together, and the Bible calls them a vast army. So King Jehoshaphat knew that the people of Judah were outnumbered. The first verse, or the first word in verse 3, it says, alarmed. It's interesting that even in the Bible, people were taken by surprise. They were alarmed and they became fearful. But what I want to do is, as we track through this story, I want to share with you five insights of how the people of Judah responded to the crisis they were confronting and how those five insights can apply to us in what we are experiencing with the coronavirus. Let's get started. Number one. The first insight from this amazing story is that Jehoshaphat prayed. The very first thing he did was to pray. If you're tracking in your Bible, verse 3 says this, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. You see, Jehoshaphat had determined purposefully and intentionally that his first step of action would be to pray and to call upon the living God. I believe it his lifestyle. It's something he did regularly, and the Bible gives him a good record. He wasn't perfect, but he was a man that honored God, and the first thing he did as a leader was to pray. It says he resolved with intentionality to inquire of the Lord. Not only that, he proclaimed a fast, and he got the word out to the people, and he asked them to assemble, and they were fasting, and here's what fasting does. It somehow intensifies and sharpens and makes us more hungry for the purposes of God. And so the people fasted, and the Bible says they came together to seek help from God himself. I want to share with you where the most powerful place in the world is. And the most powerful place in the world is when you and I kneel beside our bed or a chair before God himself. And when we call out to him in our dependence, and maybe you're praying for a child, maybe you're praying for a relative, it may be a health situation in your life. When you and I pray, when we kneel before God himself, that's the most powerful place in the world. And so Jehoshaphat called his people to a place of prayer because they knew the living God could make the difference. So number one, he prayed. Number two, the second thing that Jehoshaphat did is he claimed the promises of God over the crisis. He claimed God's promises over the crisis. If you have your Bibles, look at verse 6 through verse 12. Jehoshaphat prayed on behalf of the people. And here's what he prayed. He said, Lord God, are you not the God that rules in heaven? And he just honored God for who he was. But then a little bit later down, here's what he did. He began to claim the promises of God over the crisis. He said, God, didn't you give this property to Abraham, our forefather? And didn't you say that if we stand in your presence in this temple and we cry out to you, that you would somehow come to our aid and rescue us and save us? And so Jehoshaphat just claimed the promises of God over the crisis. Now, here's what's interesting. When we do that, the reality is totally different than the promise of God. And so Jehoshaphat had to persevere in his faith. So do you and I. When reality doesn't match what God has promised, we have to stand in a position of faith to believe that God will change it. So he just continued to pray that, God, your promises, and he reminded God of them. And he gets to the end of the prayer, and verse 12, he says, Oh, Lord God, because of who you are and what you promised, will you not judge them, the three armies that were invading Judah? He says, will you not judge them? And then he makes this amazing promise or this statement. He says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Can I tell you where our greatest encouragement comes from? It's when you and I read the Word of God and apply it to our hearts, and we claim His promises over our crisis. You see, if we look at the 6:30 news and we get somehow, if that captures our heart, we will become, have a sense of hopelessness or despair. But when we look to the Word of God and we claim His promise over the crisis, we can find hope and encouragement even in bad times. So number one, he prayed. Number two, he claimed God's promises over the crisis. Number three, the third thing that Jehoshaphat did is, or we learn from this story, the third insight, is to be a Jehaziel. Now let me explain that. In verse 14, we find the storyline changes a bit. Verses 1 through 12 are all about the crisis and what the people did. Verse 14 is different. The very first word in that verse is this, then. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. You see, the word then means something's about to change. Something's going to be different. And we find in the text here that after the people prayed, God responded. And here's what he did. He dropped a rescue plan into Jehaziel's heart. And you and I need to be a Jehaziel. But let me tell you what the plan was. Jehaziel shared with the people some encouraging words because God spoke a word through him to the people. I want you to notice it wasn't given to the king. The rescue plan was given to Jehaziel, a Levite. And here's what he said. Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. And he says, you will not have to fight in this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. You see, here's what we know about Jehaziel. He was a listener for the voice of God. And when the crisis hit, God chose him to download or to somehow deposit into his life the rescue plan, the word of encouragement. Now, here's my point in this story. You may be God's Jehaziel to your family. If you're a listener of God and you're available for him to use and to speak through, God is looking for people like that. And you could be a Jehaziel to your family. You can be a Jehaziel to your neighborhood. You could be a Jehaziel to your church family. Only takes one person. You could be a Jehaziel to your county or your state. You could be that kind of a person to your country or even to the world. It only takes one person. But that person is a listener to the voice of God. And we find this great insight that God chose this guy. He will choose you to be a Jehaziel if we spend time listening, because any of us can be one. So the first insight is this: Jehoshaphat prayed. Number two, he began to claim God's promises over the crisis. Number three, the insight, we can learn to be a Jehaziel. Be available and just speak words of encouragement. You can make the difference in your family of how you look at life, how you respond to a crisis, whether it's this or someone else. God wants to use you as that vessel. And number four, the fourth insight we learn from this story is this: praise released the supernatural. Praise release the supernatural. Verse 18, let me just walk this through. After Jehaziel shared the message, Jehoshaphat, the leader, bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and they worshiped the Lord. Then some of the Levites with the Kohathites and the Korahites, they stood up and they praised the Lord. Amazing. There's a crisis pending. They prayed. God answered. They got a word from God. And then they began to just praise God for his goodness. And we find that the leader, Jehoshaphat, says, have faith in the Lord your God and you'll be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you'll be successful. Now, here's the interesting part of the story. Jehoshaphat got a group of people together. And they began to sing and praise God for the splendor of his holiness. And here's what he did. He put the singers and the worshipers in front of and at the head of the army. They weren't behind the army. They were out in front. And it says they praised and worshiped God. And we find that the next day, when they began to praise and they worshiped, they said, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes. I want to talk just a minute about the power of thanksgiving and praise before we get the answer we're looking for. We find from this text that God honors a heart, a person who's filled with faith, and you give praise and thanksgiving before the answer even comes. And somehow, some way, praise releases the supernatural power into your life and into your circumstance, and that made the difference in this crisis. The people praised, and amazing things happened. Well, number one, the first insight is to pray. Number two, claim God's promises over the crisis. Be a Jehaziel. Be available, and God will use you. Number four, praise and thanksgiving somehow release the supernatural power of God in this crisis. And then the fifth and final point we can learn from this story is this. When we do those first four things, here's what happened. God showed up and defeated the three armies. God showed up. We find in verse 22, as they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir as they were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. God showed up, and somehow, some way, the confusion among these three armies that were attacking, they basically self-destructed or destroyed one another. You see, we have to believe that when we pray and God gives us wisdom, that he will show up at just the right time to bring victory and to bring a restoration back to the normalcy of life. So as we think about the virus, and we just have to trust and believe and call upon the living God that through the supernatural and through medicine of doctors and nurses, that the coronavirus will be defeated because he has conquered it through the cross of Jesus Christ. And God will show up and do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. So how do you work through a crisis? I hope you're praying. That's the first thing. Number two, continue to claim God's promises over your situation, over the crisis of around the world and in America. We're going to claim God's promises of healing and a sense of confidence that he has a better plan for us and he will defeat this. Number three, as you journey through the crisis, be a listener to the voice of God. Be a Jehaziel, and he will take your life and you will be an amazing encourager to all the people around you. Number four, be sure to give thanks to God for who he is. We don't have to thank him for the virus or all the stuff that's happening, but we give thanks to God that he can take it and use it for good. And number five, hey, we have to believe and trust and wait upon God that he will show up through medicine and wisdom and scientists and doctors, but also through the supernatural, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will destroy and overcome and conquer anything, the virus that stands in our way. So I want us to pray together as we wrap up the message here. I want to pray for you, and maybe you're in your home, and maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life. And if that's you today, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. For others, it's a recommitment. But let's just pray together and say, God, here's our lives. May you just take us in and somehow encourage us today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that all things are possible with you. We thank you that you have unlimited power to overthrow, to destroy, to disrupt, to overtake even a virus that's spreading around the world. But Father, we just need your help. Now, if there's anybody that would like to invite Jesus into your life, just pray this silently in your home, wherever you're at. Father in heaven, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. I confess my sins. I've tried to do life my way. I ask you to forgive me. And by faith, I believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose again and lives forevermore. And so right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart. And I invite Jesus Christ into my life. Or I recommit my life to you. May he be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, thank you, church family, and many other viewers for joining us for this abbreviated service. And we hope to be back next week in some form or fashion. We'll see where we're at. But I want to say a couple things as we kind of wrap up. Number one, be safe. You know, be wise in avoiding crowds. Wash your hands. And we just want to practice safeness principles that the governor has put out. Secondly, stay connected. And by that I mean, you know, call somebody on the phone. Maybe you know somebody that you can be a blessing to, just to be encouraged. You know, send them a text, call them, send them an email or whatever social media you want to use, but stay connected so that other people feel loved and go out and be a blessing. You know, many local restaurants, they can do takeouts, and maybe there's a way you can order a meal for somebody else and have it delivered and be a blessing to them in that way. So be safe and stay connected. Well, as we conclude the service this morning, I want us to share the Lord's Prayer together. And so let's pray this together. It's on the screen. And just ask God's blessing through the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you again next week at the same time. Thank you.